Tonight on TMS PM, diets are like religion.
Facebook wants you dead.
Burned, James burned.
Put that gerbil back.
Teacher afraid of children.
App time.
Dan the board game man and more on this episode of the Morning Stream PM.
This is the Morning Stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. PM.
We're back, everybody, from the dead. Hello, and welcome to the undead episode of the Morning Stream PM. Hi, I'm Scott, that's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hello, Scott.
You know why we do this, right? You're familiar with the reason?
Do I know?
Mm-hmm. You know why?
I have a hunch.
All right, give me, what do you think? What's your hunch?
I'm thinking that 4 days was just not enough for you to hear the sound of my voice. That basically, you're like, oh, you know, I need that extra little bit, and I don't get it from FilmSec, and I don't get it from 4 days of TMS. I know. I'll contrive some really creative way to get Coverville in my ears one more time.
All right, you would be absolutely 100% correct. With the additional push of our friends over at patreon.com/TMS.
Oh, that.
What's the old phrase? Oh, that dirty knuckle. Or what's it called? There's a phrase. What? Oh, that old chestnut. There you go.
Oh, okay.
It's not that dirty old knuckle. Dirty knuckle.
Wow.
Start that using that
like
one.
Sounds like a euphemism for something.
Yeah, start using that one now. You guys are really nice to support us and help us over at patreon.com/TMS. And that means we can do this fifth show a week. So thank you so much for that. We're here. We got stuff. We have things to talk about, as you heard at the top of the show. Right after this show, by the way, Corinne Lewis, I would call her the chairman of the Nerdtacular Planning Committee. Her and I are doing a small sort of recorded, it'll be on YouTube, but also live right here at this stream. We'll be doing a live Q&A about the initial early questions people might have about Nerdtacular 2015. Which happens July 30th, 31st, and August 1st of this year. Those are our days. So we'll answer all your questions. We may not have answers to everything, and there's some things obviously still brewing, still in the works. But it's your opportunity to ask those. Just hang out in the chat room and ask us. If you're already here, hey, perfect time to hang around and do that shortly after this show ends. And of course, we'll have a lot more info leading up to the event itself. But today we get started because it's time.
I'm going to just stick around and listen to that too.
Yeah. You better make sure I don't say something dumb like, Brian Abbott has confirmed he will have his wiener out the entire 3 days. I can say this with some authority.
Well, that, I mean, you know, you gotta realize that that's a tradition.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
we've
you can't.
Established already.
Yeah, you can't. Yes. I mean, who are we?
There's some
to,
things that are a given, right? There's right. some things that we don't need to announce.
Exactly. Like, like the following. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me today that's interesting. So I mentioned on the show this morning. My gut monster's back in some form, trying to figure out what's going on, trying to figure out how to deal with it. Since the doctors don't know what's causing it, now we're on this mystery path, blah, blah, blah. And immediately, almost immediately, as soon as I got off, about 50 tweets came my way offering the diet of the day recommendation. So, and it's fine. Everybody's being very helpful and very nice. So I don't, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's about, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 varieties of various diets going on that are kind of popular right now. For everything from this paleo thing to something called Tectus or something. I may be thinking of the boss in World of Warcraft. Might be that.
It's the diet where you have to move out of the red stuff.
Yeah, and keep moving left.
Constantly rotate.
Keep moving left. Occasionally you need to, I don't know, what happens there? I forget.
Why do I feel like Tetsemi might have recommended that diet?
Yeah, he might have. Hey, try the Tectus diet. Always move left. Half star.
Didn't work for me.
Yeah, half square, half star. You know the drill. So, you know, various kinds of diets, they all had these different names, and some of them I looked up, I thought, oh, that's curious, I haven't heard of that one, and I looked it up, see what's up with that, and I'm noticing a lot of them are kind of, what was the one that where it was all meat all day, and the guy ended up having a heart attack and dying on the sidewalk,
Atkins diet, right?
They all were like Atkins repackaged kind of different kind of diets, which is fine, I just noticed a lot of these sort of trends that seem familiar and whatever. Not really thinking too much about it, but what's happening in the meantime is there are like full-on arguments happening on Twitter and other places between people who are seeing each other recommend things to me and then are defending theirs or attacking the other guys.
Oh, no, really?
It's not...
Oh,
not
yours sucks.
Not in too harsh a way, like not quite that far, but okay, enough to say, well, you know, that's just a... Well, I heard... Like this kind of thing. And it got me to thinking. We have a problem, and I don't know if it's in this world, but it's certainly, as best I can tell, is in this country we have a problem. Where we turn anything and everything into the kind of argument that sounds like an atheist talking to a religious person. So they all sound like religious arguments to me. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating as a citizen of these states united to hear my brothers and sisters that all are under the same flag, but they argue about it like the way they would argue about Democrats versus Republicans or...
Sure.
Freaking
Jewish versus Christian.
Sure. Or even more close to this problem, global warming versus not global warming, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. The thing we just got to talking about, all the vaccination stuff that's going around.
Right.
People turn them into religious arguments in a weird way, and I don't understand where that's coming from. It's very odd.
It seems like a logical correlation when you're thinking about religion and diets, because they are both life-changing things, right? Mm-hmm, they're something that if somebody is in need of faith in their life, if they don't have faith in their life, then a religion is what helps them get that, that life-changing momentum.
Sure, to get their spiritual thing through that or whatever, which I totally get. Right. And by the way, this is not me saying we shouldn't have religion. I'm not saying that.
No. Yeah. But I'm saying that's why there's that perception that it's a lot like how they handle religion, how they handle diets. Mm-hmm. This was the diet that changed my life and I'm much better for it. And I was horrible until I discovered this sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
And then another guy swoops in and goes, oh, really? Because that diet's been proven to be complete quackery and that doctor doesn't even have a degree. Like, that's how these arguments go. And it reminded me of the great eternal argument, the one that beats them all, the ultimate religious argument, and that is Sega versus Nintendo. Back in the day,
Coke versus Pepsi.
Yeah, back in the day, the fervor behind, for instance, somebody extolling the virtues of a Super Nintendo over that of a Genesis or vice versa was unholy. Like, it was some brutal throw down the gloves and let's go kind of fisticuffs business. Right. And it's not that different. So I think what I've come to the realization of, and perhaps this is naive of me, but really this just boils down to people get invested in a certain thing and then they'll defend it to their bitter end because someone else is challenging it. Even if they may have a good point or they may have, you know, some refutable evidence or something or irrefutable evidence, totally. They're still going to defend it. You know?
Yeah, you see the same thing with Apple versus Android, mm-hmm. or Apple versus Windows, or...
most of Brian's conflicts are Apple versus somebody, as you can tell. Apple versus themselves.
Folding versus bunching.
Jobs versus whoever the guy that took his place, forgot his name. Not Tim Cook, the old one.
Oh, yeah.
The freaking... What's his name?
The guy that did the clone thing?
No, the one that he worked
Scully?
For... Yes, that's it.
Yeah, Scully.
Yeah, the clone thing. That's it. That was his big goof.
Yeah.
Yeah, what an idiot, that guy. Anyway.
Just have a bunch of clones.
Real smart stuff. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
Power computing. New Apple.
And I wanted to share it with you, dear listener. And I've done that now. So you can quit asking for it. And here's this.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the evening news brought to you by...
Oh, this one goes out to my 4-week-old daughter. I love you, Leela. Yes, aww. Named after Taronga Leela. And can't wait to see you grow up into a fantastic human being. And I can live with the screaming, and I don't even mind the diapers. But could we just agree for that from now on, you won't shit in my hand in between them? That'd be super. For you, Scott and Brian, just know that your shows have been a great support for getting through some sleepless days. Keep up the good work.
This stuff is short-lived, I promise you. Like, yeah. Brian is still, and Brian does not have to clean up Tristan's diapers anymore. It doesn't happen that way anymore.
You don't think, but
maybe.
Yeah, no.
Once in a while. A couple bad nights.
Once in a while.
It comes fast. They move out. Everything's fine. Don't worry.
And
about
you kind
it.
Of forget about all that, too.
Yeah, you don't really think about it, or you don't look at it as it wasn't a problem. Like, I miss when they were little. They were awesome when they were little, my kids. They're awesome now, but they were so much fun. Just little kids running around. Mm-hmm. Daddy, look. Everything was new and fresh and intense.
Right. Now they're like, the world anew through their eyes.
Now they're a little cynical, you know, a little bit of
moody.
Yeah.
Always angry.
Like my son. He doesn't like me talking about these things, but he's got this girl he likes. Or he did like, I guess. But she was kind of using hanging out with him to tease other boys who also like her. So she would go over to hang out with Nick and then take us Instagram of her walking in the house and send it to these other kids going, guess where I'm going? So that they would like have a meltdown and get all mad and everybody's mad at Nick because, and he doesn't even know that this is going on, of course. And I said to him, I said, son, welcome to the modern relationship. Just get through this as fast as you can. You'll be fine.
There is a breed of girl out there, and I'm certainly not going to say it's, you know, globally across the board, all teenage girls.
Right.
But there is this breed that that does stuff like that. Tristan's had girls who, you know, who had a bet with a friend that they would go out with them for how long. Like,
people are going to love that you use the word breed, by the way, to distinguish these people.
Well, okay, there is a I don't know.
Because I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Because what you're saying is like a brand or a type or whatever. That is exactly the word I would use. But as I hear it and I'm living in 2015, I can hear the voices already. I can already hear people saying, you can't call any woman a breed. What are you, some kind of misogynistic a-hole? Darf, darf, darf. Like you're going to
No way. That's a comment. Like you say, well, he's a different breed of boy, or you know, like they use agree, that dude. Term.
I completely agree with you. Yeah. I am with you 100%.
But yes,
I guarantee emails are
I'm
coming.
I'm so glad that your emails that you catch all those.
Yeah, if we do, now that we've made our point clear, what we mean, because I'd like to make this point too. What people mean is more important than what they say, and what Brian means is not what you think he's saying. Anyway,
right, exactly.
I don't want to read too much into it. I just know people are going to get emails, and that's fine. Send them in. Let us know.
There is a type of corral of woman.
There you go. So anyway, the brand of I you're right. I knew people like this, and they you know, used their loveliness and their
wiles.
Sure.
Yes. Their feminine wiles.
To pull me into their twisted nether.
Yes.
Hold on. I should back that up. That didn't sound right. Anyway. So let's tell you about this story. Brian, if you die, I hope you don't, but if you do, when you do, because we all will at some point, sure. But let's say you died today, because it's more, I think in 20 years, no one will care about this because there'll be something else to do. But Facebook creates now a legal contact, and that person will manage your account when you die. So you're going to sooner or later, have to designate somebody as your legal contact on Facebook. Let's say it's your, I don't know. Your
could
wife,
be the son
or
that I just talked about on the show,
could be your son, could be whoever. Whoever inherits that title will manage your account when you die. So if you die, they automatically get all your login credentials. Well, I assume they can just get in, and they can do updates and say Brian's last words as he jumped out of that cake at that stripper party was, you know, and he can leave
it's
a
so
legacy.
So good that he took a picture of that plate full of baby back ribs that killed him. Will forever be his last post on Facebook.
And technically, he ate them all within the hour, which means it was free, and we're really proud of him. Anyway, so you want to? Oh, hold on, my phone just fell. I feel like this is forthcoming from Twitter. If Twitter doesn't already do this, this is probably going to be coming.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea because you know when people die, like I was those poor kids that got shot in Chapel Hill yesterday or the day before. Mm-hmm. One of them has a Twitter account. He was just tweeting about something totally funny and unrelated and just chilling. And then his last tweet is just this chilling tweet that's, you know, doesn't say anything about what happened to him. Like, it's to me, I find the Twitter accounts of the deceased very unnerving. I don't like them.
Yeah, that would be freaky.
Especially when you say, oh, he did this like 6 hours before he died. He had no idea that he was going to die that day. And I don't like reading those. I don't like those Twitter accounts. Anyway.
So a friend of mine, a colleague of mine that I do some work with, she and her husband moved into a new house. Well, it was an older house, right? It was an older house here in Colorado,
sure.
In like Parker, way out in the boonies. And one of the things that was kind of left there was a big an Office Depot filing box full of last will and testaments.
Oh gosh.
Of other people.
Why?
This person, some for some reason, had a job or a had to be part of their job, and I don't know the whole story of that, but they had a job where they had to notarize them or review them or things like that, and so it's this box full of these last wills and testaments of hundreds of people. Oh, right?
Creepy.
Really creepy. But I told her I thought she should make a coffee table book out of them, because I think that stuff would be fascinating.
Is it really old? Is it super old stuff or relatively current?
Some of them are, yeah. Some of them are, you know, 20, 30 years old. Some of them are probably a few years.
Yeah.
But I think it's just weird, cool, fascinating stuff.
I should do one of those. I have never done a will.
You should go find Twitters of the last tweets of the deceased.
Oh, gosh.
And make a coffee table book out of that.
Tweets of the, I want to see. Oh, there is a thing.
Is there a domain already? Last tweets of the deceased.
It's called the tweet hereafter. Like sweet hereafter, but
yes,
the tweet.
Yes.
Oh, I don't like this. That's some morbid stuff.
That's kind of creepy right there.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that.
So, anyway. All right. So let's say I make you my legacy contact.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
What? Something happens to me. I pass away. Mm-hmm. You log on, and what do you write something in my voice and say, "Hey, been good."
That's a really good question. Fine. Like, you would have to give me instructions. Like, you could say to me, Scott, I'm making you my Twitter guy, but if I die, I want you to continue tweeting as if it were me in my kind of voice and personality, but do it as if I'm in some sort of afterlife.
Oh, that's great. Yes.
So instead of you saying, trying to get Coverville ready for 2:00, I would say, boy, all they play up here is Led Zeppelin covers. This is a strange kind of heaven or hell, or, you know, whatever.
John Lennon says, quit covering Imagine.
Yeah, dude. That would be awesome. You're better at this than me anyway. That's some good wisecrackery right there.
All right. I'll write a few for in preparation so that you can actually just.
Okay.
You can just use those to kind of get in the feel of it.
And then the last one I'll say, I'm out. Drops mic, hashtag goodbye. That'll be
perfect.
It. Also in the news, a fire has caused $1 million damage to Pierce Brosnan's Malibu home.
Oh, no.
Mr. Bond, what have you done? The fire caused more than $1 million damage to actor Pierce Brosnan's Malibu home. This is on Thursday. Fire was reported around 9:50 p.m. Wednesday at the 3100 block of Broad Beach Road, just west of Zuma Beach.
I know Zuma Beach.
You know where that is? Okay. About 50 firefighters responded, to the scene and knocked down the fire in approximately 30 minutes. What does that mean? Knocked it down, I guess stopped it. No injuries were reported and was contained to the garage in one bedroom area of the home. Brosnan, best known for playing James Bond, and his family were home at the time. There's an investigation. They don't know what happened, but they will make sure that there was no arson or explosives or any of that.
Wow.
Yeah. Weird, right? Like...
That is weird.
What happened there? You leave the curling iron on there, Pierce?
My Blu-ray player got stuck. I was watching old reruns of Remington Steele.
I was watching the best James Bond, who is... I wonder if they all have favorites. Like, if you asked each of the James Bond actors, how many of them would say...
I'll bet you they do, and I'll bet you none of them say Pierce Brosnan.
You think they say shaken, not
stirred?
I think
most of them would say Sean Connery or Daniel Craig.
Yeah, nobody's saying... who's the middle one there? Who's after?
George Lazenby or no, Roger Moore?
Roger Moore. Nobody says Roger Moore.
Mm-hmm. Or Timothy Dalton, I'm afraid. Timothy Dalton, see.
He got the raw end of that stick, I think.
He did get the raw end of that stick. He is the closest of all the actors who've played James Bond. He is the closest to the description that Ian Fleming gives about the character. Very disassociated, very dark. And no comedy, no joking, no drinking. Well, I mean, you know, the martinis, but not like the Dean Martin that Roger Moore tried to make him.
Oh, yeah, that's a good comparison. Very Dean Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Moneypenny. I wish I could do his voice. I love his, yeah. His slow old guy thing.
And you know what? I love Live and Let Die. I love The Man with the Golden Gun. I can't imagine those movies without Roger Moore. But... Timothy Dalton just was not the Bond that we wanted at that time.
Yeah, he had a manic look to him, like a crazy crazy eyes kind of thing.
Well, he had a look to him like you know, a crappy life that he lived before he got to this point that you're seeing him now. Like there was, there was some hard road behind him.
So that's good about Daniel Craig, because I feel like he has straddled the two places.
Yeah.
He's got the slick, smooth thing down, but he also looks like he's seen some dirt in his life, you know?
And I'm ready to say that the Daniel Craig is my favorite Bond.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm already saying,
I love Sean Connery. Don't get me wrong. He is my favorite actor to play the role of Indiana Jones's dad.
We named the dog Indiana. Okay, I just found it. Here's a quote from Daniel Craig. Somebody asked him, how does he keep his great physique and his stern face? And his answer was,
smoke weed every day.
Ah, makes sense now.
So glad you played that and not...
Yeah, that's not good. All right, so finally in the news, before we take a break here, Family Feud contestant said something kind of terrible on the Family Feud. Now I'm going to play you the clip.
Okay.
Apparently the Family Feud these days is a ripe area for some good comedy. There's some funny stuff coming out of the mouths.
I'm sure it is, yeah.
People. So here it is, a clip from the Family Feud, and you tell me if you agree with this woman's answer. Here you go.
Point values are double. We got top 7 answers on the board. Name something a doctor might pull out of a person. Darcy.
A gerbil.
Wow, dude. Like, just go ahead and say
that's the first thing. That's not because all the other answers were taken.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that she came to.
Yeah. Bullet. Knife. Their
gallstone.
Appendix. Yeah.
Tooth.
Yeah. Tooth is a good one. Holy crap. She's the...
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, that's her. Man, I love this line, though.
Name something a doctor might pull out of a person.
Yeah, I like that line. I'm going to use that for other things. Tell me one time.
It's almost like they write it hoping that somebody says something like that, right?
I think they do. And there have been some...
It's the Bob Eubanks. Yeah. Where's the strangest place you've ever made whoopee?
Whoopee. Kind of. Freaking whoopee. I heard that mentioned on MASH yesterday. Somebody said whoopee, and I went, oh, I know what era we're in here.
Right. That is a phrase that isn't even used ironically these days.
Nope. It's like, hello, 1972 or whatever it had been.
Right.
All right. That's it for the news. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have our friends. We'll have Dan here. He'll come later. But we're going to start with our friends called the apps. We're going to have app time. Brian and I are going to talk about our favorite apps of the week anyway. And we'll get to that in a minute. But Brian's brought music, and I can't wait to hear what it is.
Yes. Well, all right. So this is a fun one. Let's see here. Dice Tomato missed out yesterday because yesterday was his birthday and we weren't around. And so he didn't get his birthday song. But I'm going to remedy that right now. By the way, big shout out to Yagavos, whose birthday it is today. He did not send in a request. So
22 now? 21? 20?
I don't know. I think 21. I think he can drink over here now.
Well, come on over, dude. Yeah.
That's right. He was previously only able to drink in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Now he can drink everywhere, every day.
He can drink in all the uptight countries. So come on over.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So Dice Tomato. Let's see here. Yeah. PMZ Yan is confirming 21. Mm. He says, well, it's my birthday again today, the 11th. So I'm making my obligatory song request to you guys. There was a time in the last half of season 10 of Grey's Anatomy that they played some fantastic covers of popular 80s songs. Mm. The style and choice of those covers really hit me in the feels. Now, I'm not specifically asking for any of these covers, seeing as they were very melancholy, but I would like a good, fun, and upbeat 80s cover for proper birthday celebration. I put the fate of my ears in your hands. Thank you for all the fun mornings and great stories, and I hope to hear many more in the future. Happy 33rd to me. Outgrow an apropos Romeo Bro cameo, though, yo. Dice Tomato and the Tadpole.
Cool. That's a good one. He worked for that one. He earned it.
He earned that one. Yeah. All right. So 80s covers.
Caver.
Yeah. Cavers. So AccuRadio. Have you heard of AccuRadio?
Nope.
They just released a survey. Hold on. I got to mute something here. Okay. They just released the results of a study that they did of the most popular love songs for each year of the past 50 years.
All right.
And so I decided to go through the 80s and see what they came up with. And mostly Journey and REO Speedwagon And I don't have covers. Well, I don't have good covers, upbeat covers of the Journey and REO Speedwagon songs that were popular, which, of course, you could probably guess. Open Arms, Faithfully.
Any of the Air Supply pieces of business, all the Chicago stuff, right?
Right, exactly. Well, one that did stick out for 1986, I can't remember the date, was The Way You Make Me Feel by Michael Jackson. That was the number one cover song of its year. And decided to go for a cover of that one. How about one that came out in 1996 by a guy named Frank Bennett? Now, I don't think that's his real name. I think he gets that by combining Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett, and you'll hear why in just a minute. Mm. It comes from his album 5 o'clock Shadow. It's a cover of Michael Jackson's The Way You Make Me Feel, and please to enjoy.
Hey, pretty baby with the high heels on. You give me fever like I've never known. You're just a product of loveliness. I like the move of your walk, your talk, your dress. I feel your fever from miles around. I'll pick you up in my car and we'll paint the town. Kiss me, baby, and tell me twice that you're the one for me.
The way you make me feel,
you really turn me on.
You knock me off my feet.
My lonely days are gone. I love the feeling you're giving me. Hold me, baby, and I'm in ecstasy. Oh, I've been working from 9 to 5 to buy you things that'll keep you by my side. I ain't never been in love before. Promise me, baby, you'll love me forevermore. I said I'm gonna keep you satisfied, 'cause you're the one for me.
The way you make me feel,
girl, you turn me on.
You knock me off my feet.
My lonely days are gone. So in love before, promise me, baby, you'll love me forevermore. I said I'm gonna keep you satisfied, 'cause you're the one for me. The way you make me feel, you really turn me on. I'm off of my feet, my lonely days are gone.
Awesome. Love that.
Good stuff, right?
Yeah, I really like that a lot. That was really good. We're back. Check this out.
My rhymes are fly. My beats are sick.
I meant to play that earlier and I forgot to.
Who's that?
That's that weird old man that keeps using the N-word in his music video, the preacher guy. Do you remember that?
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah. He's the one that kept saying Jesus is my N-word. It was for some youth video. Have you not ever seen that guy?
No, I don't think I've seen him.
It's a classic, dude. I thought you'd seen this for sure. Yeah, you got to look for that guy. Jesus rapper, preacher or something is what you want to search for.
Oh, my God.
Chat room, find it for him and send that over.
It's not as fun as the farting preacher, though.
No. But every time it plays.
Big fan of the farting trooper.
That guy's great. Oh, what happened to him? Is he still around? Farting preacher. this is like pre-YouTube, this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, let's just hear it.
You can tell by like the fuzzy lines on the VHS copying back and forth.
Yep. Here's an early taste.
Watch this. For I have seen all that Laban's... I've seen what Laban's done unto...
Gosh, it shouldn't be so funny, but it's freaking funny.
It's hilarious even just hearing the audio.
Yeah, it's good. People should check that out. All right. Hey, looky here. It's time for us to talk about our apps. We don't have a theme. Before I do, though, Squarespace.com says to you, hey, dear listener, are you somebody who wants to make a website that's all about, I don't know, apps? Let's say you're just a huge fan of apps. And you're like, man, all the apps, the websites that cover apps, I'm not interested in those. I want to make a blog that everybody flocks to because I know what I'm doing. And I'm going to say amazing things. And it's going to get so big that I'm going to sell t-shirts after and all this kind of stuff because I need all these like tools to do it. But oh no, I'm a crappy web designer. Well, worry no more. Squarespace.com swoops in with incredible tools. They're on version 7 of these tools. Their responsive designs work great on mobile, desktop, and more. Go build a website today. Do it on your terms by using a free trial. No credit card required. If you decide to stay, save some money. 10% off with the code MORNING. That's MORNING. At Squarespace.com. All right, Brian, it's app time.
All right.
Should I do a theme? Let's see here. Do I have anything that's good? How about, I really like this one here.
Next, a Vera Papa Pipperoo, in which Handy Andy adds some fancy footwork just to make things more complicated.
Jeez, 40s.
Nice.
Gosh, there.
Way to step up the alliteration.
It's impressive. All right, let's start with you. What has been tickling your touchscreen this week?
I have been having a blast with a game that's based on a gaming franchise that was huge on the Xbox and PlayStation and the newer consoles, the newer versions of those consoles, even spawned a movie and is due to spawn another movie whose trailer just came out. I'm talking about the game Hitman.
Oh, Hitman!
Hitman!
I love Hitman. He has great powers. Oh, I bet I know what game you're playing. I'm not going to, I'll let you do it, but I love that game. It's great.
Yeah, Hitman Go is the mobile version, and it's nothing, well, I won't say it's nothing like the console games, but it takes things in a completely different direction. Now, the Hitman games rely a lot on stealth. Hey, I'm a rogue. I play rogue in WoW. I'm all about the stealth. I'm all about the invisibility, ducking around corners and whatnot, sneaking up behind your enemy.
Invisible backstabber.
And then dying and laying on the floor.
Exactly. Sure. Tanking the floor.
That's what I'm all about.
Yep.
So those games, you know, always had an appeal to me. I never played any of them, but they always had an appeal to me. Like, oh, I bet I'd like those. I bet I should check those out. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until the BAFTA game reviews came out and the awards came out for, like, you know, best console game and best newcomer and things like that. And so I looked really closely at the best portable game or best mobile game category. I'm going to pull those up too while we're talking about it, the nominations. And this was one of them. And I thought, all right, let's check it out. This is probably going to be really cool. Mm-hmm. Again, I like stealth games. I like puzzle games like this. Boom, love it. Mm-hmm. By the way, the other ones in the list for nominations, 80 Days. Mm-hmm. Which is the Around the World in 80 Days thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
Hearthstone, of course. Mm-hmm. Monument Valley, which I hear nothing but great things about.
Very cool. Very short, but very good.
Threes, which I was hooked on for quite a while.
Yeah, Threes is good.
And The Walking Dead Season 2. I played Season 1, haven't played Season 2. Mm. But all of those seem very well, well-deserving of the mobile and handheld BAFTA Award.
Yeah.
So I picked up Hitman Go, and I got to say, I love it. I love the look and feel of this thing. It looks like you're playing with little board game pieces, mm-hmm. which is just awesome.
Yeah, like little, what's it like? It's like a tabletop board game, and it's so weird. Yeah.
And it's so well done, and it's just gorgeous. Yeah. So, and I think it's relatively cheap. It's, what, $4.99 or something?
Yeah, and it's on sale occasionally. I think I got it on sale for like $2 at one point, so keep your eye on it, but... Good
totally
game.
Worth it.
Yeah, totally good game. It's weird how they translated stealth so well to that board game.
To a board game style. Yeah,
yeah, really weird. Great. No, I'm glad you brought that one up. That one's awesome.
Hitman Go.
Hitman. Got it.
Or Hitman Go.
So I have a recommendation called Sneaky Sneaky.
Wow.
Let me just put that right out there. I'm not going to beat around the bush.
We did not collaborate on any of this
stuff. No, we did not. It happens to also be a stealth game. That's funny, because we were talking earlier about making sure we didn't do the same game, so we said, well, what's the first letter? And we're like, okay, phew, we're okay. But we didn't know we were both doing stealth games. So this is a brand new game, only out in like a week. maybe less. And it's $2.99. I love games that I can just freaking pay for that are also good. I'm sick of free-to-play freaking garbage. I want to get something.
Right.
I'll give you some money. Here you go. Now let me play your game the way it was meant to be played. This game is... You'll immediately be look at it and go, oh, it's kind of a kind of Zelda, old-school 2D Zelda kind of design or style. But you're this little rogue man. And you know what? These games are very similar now that I think about it. The most comparative game I can think of to this is Hitman Go.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of got that thing where it's a puzzler.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at the little video for it, it's like...
Yeah, guys are pacing back and forth. You need to time when you're going to go stealth, right? You need to hide in a bush so they can walk past you. Right. You can kill them if you backstab them or you get them in the right angle or whatever, but you can't be seen. And if they do, they attack you. Now, you can actually battle it out in this turn-based attack thing, which is a little bit different than Go, because Go is like... Oh, you're dead. Like, there's no... You can't fight the guy. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it's either him or you.
Yeah, this one you can try to get through without ever facing anyone, but you do have life and you can get into a fight. Sometimes it goes real bad for you, but you can win those fights. There are potions to regenerate. So that's maybe the one difference. But beyond that, and the setting, which is all very medieval magic kind of roguey stuff...
It's got very Battleheart kind of feel. This isn't the same company that did Battleheart.
No, different company, but you're not wrong. Okay. It's that. If you like that style, I think this is totally up your alley.
Yeah. This looks like the only thing they've ever put out.
If this is their first stab and they haven't done anything else yet, this makes me really excited for what they may do in the future, because it turns out to be really thick, really juicy, and it doesn't feel like a cheap mobile game that's only meant to hold your attention for 10 minutes and then you move on to the next thing. It does feel like there's depth to it. It feels like I could see sequels to this pretty quickly and easily. I think it's a hell of a thing. So I'm going to recommend it pretty highly. It's interesting. Both of ours are paid apps today. I think they may have been last week too. I just think you get more for your value if you just support these developers straight up. No weird tricks. Yeah. No buying crystals to do shit. Just pay. Here's some money. Like a burger. I'm not going to free to play my burger. Why would I want to do that with my video games?
Right.
It's a terrible...
Here, throw in another 10 cents if you'd like more lettuce.
Exactly. They don't have micropayments. Well, I guess they kind of do, but they at least have the buy the original thing. Listen, let me buy your stuff. So yeah, anyway, they're both great games. If you like stealth games, clearly today is your day.
Cool.
And that one is available on both iPad and iPhone. So is yours. And I think Sneaky Sneaky is coming to... Let me just make sure. I think that's coming to Android. May already be there. Sneaky Sneaky's on Steam. That's cool. Not on Android yet. Looks like it may be coming. Let me just see how it's doing on Steam. Just checking that. There's a little video. Oh, look, a video. Let's see what this is. Okay, all right. There's some text. Yeah, anyway, it's really good. That's probably the video you were watching.
That's I'm sure that's it. I had the sound down, but that sounds like what it would have... That sounds like the sound it would have made.
It's $2 more on PC, but that actually intrigues me. I may want to play it there too. That'd be a fun one to stream or something, you know?
Right.
Anyway, cool game, Sneaky Sneaky, in stores now.
Cool.
All right, it's time for Dan.
Sneaky Sneaky.
We're gonna call him. Now I don't know if Dan got home in time. He was gonna rush real fast.
Okay.
And I'm calling him a tiny bit early. Oh, I see his thing there. Hold on, Dan. Don't go anywhere.
What's he Skyping to? What's he sending?
I should have been more specific about what thing he's showing me. All right, I'll play. Here's your theme. Why not?
My rhymes are flying. My beats are sick.
His rhymes are flying. His beats are sick. It's Dan, the board game man. Dan Patrice, what's going on, buddy?
I've often been referred to as quite fly in my day.
You are very fly. Listen, here's the thing with Dan. I'm going to say this before he introduces whatever rad board game he's going to talk about today. Dan is my personal sounding board. Between him and Corinne, they get all the heat from my guts are acting weird. And why? Because Dan is a freaking pharmacist and understands how, you know, over-the-counter stuff works versus other stuff and just has a lot of that experience, right? So it's like this weird therapy for me to be sitting there all grumpy and hurting and go, I should text Dan and ask him. And Dan will flood me with great information.
Should I be taking this?
And Dan's great because he's all about the science. He's all about the what works, what doesn't really work. None of the mumbo jumbo. He's not there going, well, my understanding is if you take the flakes from a freaking oak tree bark, and rub it into your noodle, well, you might have better results. Like, he's not doing any of that stuff.
If you float that stuff in a little bit of grenadine and then steep it a bit, and then swallow it. Well, what's funny is that you just happen to have the issues that I happen to know a little bit about. Because, you know, in pharmacy school, you do a lot of rotations and stuff. And I just happen to do a little bit more specialty rotations in diabetes, GI, and some anticoag. But we don't want you to be on warfarin and anticoagulation and stuff like that just yet. But we'll help you out with
We'll get there eventually. And the diabetes, hello, let's stave that off a little while. I don't want that. I don't know.
I mean, sometimes you don't do these things yourself. And here's something for you now. Here's a myth. Now, Ibit, you like cultural myths that everybody tells people?
Oh,
like,
it's my favorite thing, cultural. I was just telling Dean how much I like cultural myths.
You know, people always say, well, like a big wives' tale is, hey, don't eat too much sugar because you're going to give yourself diabetes.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So and the truth is you really can't. You really can't give yourself diabetes. You can't out-eat your pancreas if your pancreas isn't already damaged or, you know, isn't already predetermined. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're 5,000 pounds, you're going to get some sort of diabetes.
Yeah, you're going to get other health issues to go along with it, too.
Yeah,
right.
And
like
you'll
some
get,
type
yeah.
2. So can type you, 2 stuff, you can kind of give yourself.
Let me ask you this. If I sat down, okay, so tonight I go to the store and I buy a bucket full of, I don't know, cinnamon bears, okay? And I bring them home. Oh, can't tell you how much I miss cinnamon bears. Anyway.
That was my wrestling name in high school.
Cinnamon Bear? Cinnamon Bear. Yeah. He smiles too much. Don't trust him.
Threatening name.
So if I sat down and ate, you know, I don't know, a gallon of cinnamon bears, equivalent to a gallon of those, you're telling me, I guess I could measure it in ounces and not gallons. But anyway, you're telling me that I could never, I may make myself sick and, you know, I'm not going to feel great, but I can't give myself diabetes doing that.
No, okay. No, you don't have to worry about making an appointment with Wilford Brimley anytime soon to worry about that.
Good.
Now, chances are, I mean, not only your body's not even going to absorb half of that stuff either. I mean, your body can only absorb a certain amount. You know, that's the thing that we always tell old ladies that want to take like 4 of these big old pills of calcium. Your stomach is only capable of absorbing a certain amount of stuff at one time. So sugar and stuff like that, I mean, a lot of it will pass through. You will get one heck of a tummy ache and probably more gas than any company can possibly even bottle.
Yeah, but you want to yak, right? You'll barf before anything else. I mean, that's what your body does. Your body's like, all right, this doesn't belong here. Brr. Right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, your stomach's not even going to be able to handle all that stuff. It's only going to stretch so far and you'll end up barfing. But yeah, I mean, even those things, your body's kind of made for those short, binges of sugar and other things like that.
Well, I asked Wilford Brimley once. I said, how do I get rid of the
diabetes?
And he said,
smoke weed every day.
All right. Any chance I get, that's
way
the rule.
Way to tie it all together.
As long as you don't see him in a side room and he wants to have a little chat with you.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, dude.
Don't do any of that.
I don't want that. All right. Dan Patrice here to talk about board games. It's a fun thing to do with the family, with your friends, with the whatevers. Take it out on the weekend. Pull those boards out. Blow everybody's mind. Dan, what do you got this week for us?
So last weekend I was at Unpub 5 up in Baltimore. That's the Unpublished Game Festival. Daryl Louder and the rest of the Unpub crew, they do a great job. Where people just bring prototypes, all sorts of different stages, you know, ones that'll be even on Kickstarter next month and some things that are like 3 and 4 years away. Because this being Unpub 5, there were some games there that have been going on Pub since like 2 or 3 and just to see the evolution of these games. So designers will bring their games, they'll sit at a table, you know, they'll buy the table and testers will come in because it's free for testers. But the designers are the ones that pay for the table. So the testers will come down, testers will play your game, they'll give you feedback, and there's an online feedback form. They'll collect all your feedback. And it's really good how, you know, it's just constant testing of the game. Because you can't really just, I mean, honestly, you can't just poop out a game and it's great. You got to test the heck out of it.
Yeah, you got to hammer that thing to death, sure.
And if I bring a game, you know, and let's be honest, if I bring a game to, you know, Ibit, Dunaway and Scott and sit down and get you guys to play the game, you're probably going to like it because it's me and I'm your friend.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get 3 guys that don't know me from anyone, they're going to give you a little bit more honest, you know, feedback.
They're more likely to poke hole, like say, well, this could be a little bit different or this could be better or I don't know why you used a gun here when you could have used a knife.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and that's the thing. You kind of want that. You kind of want people to break your game or to poke holes in it because obviously it's not going to be perfect. So you got to go back to the drawing board a few times. So that's great to see and see all these games that come back. So one of the games that I got to play is from a local guy here in North Carolina. His name is Matt Wolf. It's called Wombat Rescue.
Okay.
Now, do you guys know very much about wombats?
They are a creature of
nocturnal.
Yeah.
Australian furry brown. about the size of a small pig.
They've never been accused of stealing your baby. unlike
well, so then now we'll get to the dingo in a second. So because dingo ate your baby. Okay. So the wombat actually, this is pretty funky. The wombat poops cubes.
Oh, well, really? Thank goodness.
Yeah, they actually poop cubes, and they don't have very good eyesight, so they have to use that as like kind of a smell network. Now, in wombat rescue, you're going around a board trying to rescue your babies, but you have to use a smell network. So as you're pooping out these cubes onto the board to help you move throughout the board, but you got to watch out for the dingo because the dingo can move on the board and eat your babies from you. So you're using your different powers that you have.
So you're not kidding. Tiles. There is actually a dingo baby eating mechanic in the game.
Yes.
That is hilarious. I was kidding.
There's actually a dingo there that will, you know, and I don't want to say it says eat. I think the dingo just sends the baby back to where they've captured them. I think they're trying to keep it a little, just in case the family market, because, you know, kids don't want to be like, oh, they ate the babies. You know, they want to, you know, oh, it just captured it and send it back home. And they went scurrying back home because they're so small, stuff like that. But Wombat Rescue was there. It looks great. It's it actually is signed by Eagle and Griffin Games. So that was pretty cool to hear. And that should probably be going up to Kickstarter real soon. But it was cool to see him testing a game that really looked nice and still getting feedback for little things like that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And did you see a lot of games that were kind of in this primordial state? That were good enough to say, you know, after whatever further testing, these look like they're real winners.
Well, you have games in all sorts of different states. I mean, there was that last year, a whole bunch of games got signed because it didn't quite blow up last year as it did this year, where it was even hard for publishers to get in to try these games. Like last year, there was publishers that would just go anywhere they want, sitting down like crazy. And one publisher signed 5 or 6 games last year. Oh, wow. I haven't heard any stats this year about how many games got signed, but I know a couple were in talks with some publishers.
That's awesome.
You know, and we were talking the last few weeks, especially around Christmas, about more social games, you know, things like Snake Oil and things like that.
Sure.
A guy named John Gilmore, we mentioned a game last year called Dead of Winter. Mm. He's the guy that made Dead of Winter. It's a real good game by Plaid Hat Games. It's going to win all sorts of awards from last year, like Games of the Year and stuff. Dead of Winter is a fantastic game. But the designer, he had a game that's kind of like a social game. It's called News at 11. Mm. Now, what you do is it's kind of the same thing where it's a rotating judge. And rotating judge may have some cards, and it'll have things like alien invasion or somebody was eating poop on a street or Ibbot's hair grew back, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he'll have things and everybody else are newscasters. So I'll have a card and I'll like throw and I'll just start talking about the news. I'll, you know, say something. I'll be like, so Ibbot, what's going on with the weather today? And I'll throw Ibbot a card that says aliens are arriving, and Ibbot's got to start improvising why the weather is weird in Idaho, and it's because the aliens. So he's got to tell this story, and then he'll throw it back to me, and I'll say, "So Scott, you know, what happened in the jazz game tonight?" And I'll throw you a card that says Ibbot's hair grew back, and you've got to kind of get that into a story. So stuff like that.
This sounds like a game I would freaking love.
That sounds hilarious.
In fact, this sounds like something Brian and I should build into a segment on the show. That's really funny. That's a really great idea. I love this idea.
Yeah. And stuff like that. It's amazing how they just kind of come out of nowhere and you just hear these ideas. And, you know, that's very, very raw. I mean, they're kind of developing their own game company around this game, him and another designer. And I don't know if they're going to have things like, you know, maybe you'll have a card too of it. And then when I give you a card, you've got to use a card from your hand and this card just to make it a little more interesting.
I was thinking that I just play a card back to you, you know, back to you in the studio. And then you would have to play the card I just handed you or something like that.
Another fantastic idea. I'll have to forward that on to him. Because, you know, all these things, they just kind of go in there. And that's just how you do it, just by testing.
Yeah, the testing I've learned. So very limited testing, obviously, so far on my card game, my 1v1 card game I haven't talked a lot about. We're getting a deck to you, Dan, in fact, ASAP here. But that's one of the things I've noticed. The more people I bring in to say, all right, sit down and play this with me. They're like, oh, what happens if you do that? Oh, yeah, dude, that's a good idea. Burp, burp, burp. And before you know it, you know, you're all kind of co-creating this thing. It's crazy.
You know what you do? You get a couple of Nick's friends to come over, and you just give them the deck and the directions, and you just sit there, and you don't say a word. And that's kind of blind testing, and that's one of the best ways to test things like that.
Yeah. Well,
because then they don't have any sort of influence. They can't just sit there and be like, is this right? Is this right? Should I do this? And they just go with it. I mean, that's probably a little early for that, but I mean, that's just another good way to test.
Well, we'll definitely get to that stage. What's funny is with this process, I've noticed is that the rules were intended from the very beginning. When I came up with the concept and was trying to implement this thing, it was always meant to be really simple. And in my head, it is. And in play, it is. It's super simple in terms. So it's really easy to grasp, and then you're just down to playing, right? Mm-hmm. I've noticed, and I now have an appreciation. You always hear people say, yeah, I love that board game, but man, the rules are terrible. Go online and look at the videos that people have put up, because that's so much better. And I used to go, what's wrong with everyone being so lazy about their rules? When you have to actually pen to paper your rules down, that is some scary, hard work. Like,
right.
the simplest concepts have to be described in ways that you just can't do it. It's actually kind of amazing. I have a brand new respect for anybody who makes game rules, whether hard or not hard. My hat is off to those people, and I take back everything I ever said.
It's fascinating. I used to have to write software documentation, and it's the same kind of thing.
Same deal,
it's
like, yeah.
You have to think about, all right, what are these? How are these idiots going to use the software? What pitfalls, what cliffs do I have to warn them not to walk over?
Yeah, we make fun of it, like this thing. Here it is.
Treat the mouse button as if it were hot, sort of like the potato in the game Hot Potato.
Right, we think that's so dumb, but that's the best they could do to talk to an old lady about using a mouse in 1993.
Right. I still have to do a little bit of training like that with Tina's folks. Like, they'll be using their tablet, and they think they have to press really hard on the screen sometimes or leave their finger there. Like, no, just tap it. Well, it's not registering, so I'm pressing a little harder. Well, that's not the problem. Mm-hmm. you're dragging things around because you're putting your finger on there, and it's little tiny movements. But
yeah, and I'm like to my mom, hey, copy and paste, Mom. That means nothing to her.
Right.
Like,
oh,
what?
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, that is it's a conceptual challenge to get it across.
Any word that can be taken the wrong way or read into, yes. Well, this could mean this. And you're like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
It's really hard. Anyway, right. Well, that's fascinating. So cool. Well, I want to play that game. That sounds amazing.
So I got one more for you.
All right.
It's called Valeria Card Kingdoms. Mm. Now, this is one of the ones that, again, it was pretty much in a close to done state. I think it'll go up in Kickstarter within the next couple of months. It's by Isaias Vallejo, and it's going to be from Game Designer Studio is the name of the company that's putting it out. This is a really cool card game. This is also the guy that made Sunrise City. People may or may not have heard of that game. Now, you've got a row of cards in front of you. You've got cards from two. On the card, it'll be from 2 to 12. Mm-hmm. So you've got a little bank of the cards. There's like 3 or 4 cards in each one. And in front of you, you start the game off with a 5, which is a peasant, and a 6, which is a knight. So everybody's got those. And all those other cards will be like a cleric. This is kind of a fantasy theme. You know, like a cleric. All the 6s are knights, and then there may be like a marauder and an archer. So there's basically all the different cards have some sort of name to them. Now, what happens through the game is you're going to roll 2 dice. Now, if one of the dice, so maybe I get a 5 and a 6, which is 5, 6, and then it also adds up to an 11. So everybody's 5 and 6 will trigger, and my 5 and 6 will trigger on my turn. And if anybody just happens to have bought an 11, that'll trigger too. So these things will be like, you'll have 2 different things in a card. Like if it's my turn, I may get 2 gold from my 5, but since it's somebody else's turn, like Ibit may have a 5 in front of him, but on his turn, if it's somebody else's turn, he'll get 1 gold for somebody else rolling the 5. Mm. And if he happens to have the 11, it would trigger that too. So
almost
you're trying
like
to
Catan and the resources.
Exactly. Kind of. So there's another game called Machikoro that came out last year, which is, they call that kind of like a dice Catan. So, I mean, the only problem with Machikoro is that it's bone dry. I mean, it's dry as toast. So, I mean, it's okay to play for families and stuff. Like, you guys would probably love to play with your family. And I don't mind playing with my family, but if I'm playing with gamers, it's just so dry and just gets so bored. It's okay to for a filler. Now, with this brings the whole fantasy aspect into it. So you're trying to get like attack values, gold, and also there's magic, which can be used along with attack to be more attack or along with gold to be more gold. Now, you also have a row of monsters. There'll be like 4 rows of monsters, and they vary in strength. So then there's also things you can buy as far as buildings go, which are basically just victory point sinks. Mm. So throughout the game, the dice are rotating. Like, I'll be buying cards. So you kind of want to invest in different numbers, like numbers you think you want to get bought. So, of course, you're going to be buying like 7s. You know, maybe you'll take a chance. So the things that are more powerful are like the 2s and the 12s, because they're not going to come out all that often. And there's also a 1 you can buy, because, you know, if a 1 and a 6 comes out, so the 1 will trigger, the 6 will trigger, and the 7 will trigger.
Mm,
so if you roll 1 and a 6, okay. It's really, it's not the easiest thing to explain, but when you see this game, it's called Valeria Card Kingdoms. So much fun. I had to go back there. I played it like 3 times over the weekend because I just couldn't get enough of how much fun this really was. And they were super cool. The designer was taking all sorts of good input from us about some things that worked and some things that didn't necessarily work. Just a fantastic game.
Well, it sounds awesome to me, and boy, good collection today in general, but that news one is really tickling my noodle.
Yep, News at 11. There's actually, you can follow them on Twitter. I think it's called News at 11 with the at and 11. I didn't know you can actually put an at in your name, but yeah, News at 11 if you want to follow.
Oh, really?
In
the URL?
I didn't know you could do that. That's crazy. Did you care?
So yeah, check them out. Because John Gilmore, if you haven't played Dead of Winter, guys, whew, great game.
Good stuff. Okay. Oh, well, yeah. It's good pedigree then.
We'll talk about that. We talked about it kind of last year, but now that I've gotten to talk about it, we'll talk about it in upcoming episodes.
Something to leave with you before we go. I found this today on Twitter. This is from Marcus Person, a.k.a. Notch, creator of Minecraft, now billionaire. I guess. I don't know how much of the $2 billion he got, but he got enough of it to buy that $75 million house in freaking L.A. Anyway. He said this on Twitter. Two-player Monopoly is probably the worst gaming experience of my life. Do you concur?
Agree.
You concur. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds bad, doesn't it? It sounds real bad.
Well, yeah. we talked about how bad of a rap it gets, and it's not as bad as people give it, but two-player is just that bad.
That sounds really awful. You know? I've never done it, but it sounds horrendous.
One of the fun things that's not an official Parker Brothers rule is the trading of properties. And mm-hmm. You know, with three people, you can kind of say, well, you're not going to want that because, you know, he's got one of those and I've got one of them, but I'll take that and trade you this. And if it's two player, it's like, no, as soon as I give you that, you're going to have a monopoly and you're going to start building houses. Screw you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't give Scott North Carolina Avenue. That needs to come to me, baby.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'll give you a little something on the back end for it.
Because you live there.
It's kind of like playing, Catan with two people. Yeah. Like that's
right.
You can have the game, but half the fun is the trading, where you take a fantastic game and you just strip away all the fun to it.
Well, I'm really sorry about your Panthers. That still probably stings a little bit. No Panthers in the Super Bowl. Yeah, always next
Actually,
year.
Actually, I'm worse. I'm a Jets fan, so it's been bad forever.
Yeah, always bad. Never good. That's like a two-player game of Monopoly right there.
That's right. The season is usually over by September 15th or so.
That sounds about right. Well, it's always fun having you on, dude. Thanks so much. And people can find you at Geek Jock Blog on Twitter. Anything else people should be following or watching?
Yep. Check out the Geek All-Stars podcast. We'll be putting up another episode. And I'll have the two panels I moderated at Unpub. I moderated a state of the game, state of board gaming. I did a panel on that. And I also talked to Richard Lanius, who made Arkham Horror, and Mike Fitzgerald, who's actually made the game Diamonds last year. But he's also the guy, he made so many of these CCGs over the years. Mm-hmm. He actually is the man responsible basically for every pre-constructed Pokemon deck ever.
Oh my gosh.
He's the guy to put it together. He's such a cool guy. An older guy. He used to do morning show and like WABC on the radio and everything. Just such a great guy. And interviewing those two guys is like interviewing just two of the giants of the industry. So we'll have that going up on the Geek All-Stars real soon.
You moderated them handily. That's what you did. Dan, Patrice, always fun, dude. Come on back in a couple of weeks. Let's do this again, okay?
All right, be well, guys, and play some games this weekend.
See you, man. Oh, I didn't know he was on video that whole time.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been looking in the background. He's got these shelves that I imagine, based on the colors. Those don't look like they're full of books. They look like they're full of board games.
No, yeah. Every one of those has to be. And he keeps talking. He's mentioned a few times how he has to kind of reorganize that every once in a while because he gets all these new ones. And I'm guessing after a trip like this where he comes back with a bunch of stuff, he doesn't know where to put everything.
Right.
Throw out all your Monopoly games and you'll be fine. thanks, Dan.
No.
Thanks, everybody, for becoming and listening to us here on the TMS PM edition of the show. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us there. Don't forget, our website is frogpants.com/TMS. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, @MorningStream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. Lots of shows coming up this weekend. More importantly, if anyone wants to hang around and do the Q&A about Nerdtacular 2015, now's your time to do it. We'll have a little time while I kind of arrange things and get stuff situated and tweet out the links and all that, but hang around and you can have your hot little questions answered by myself and Corinne Lewis, and there's much more to come down the road. Brian, anything else? Am I missing anything? We good?
I got nothing. I got nothing.
You got nothing. Well, yeah, music, and that I like, so why don't you give me some of that?
I do have one thing. Right. This one comes to us from Ray B. Hi, guys. I've been wanting to request this one for a few years now. It seems the Beatles recorded this album on the day I was born in 1963. John Lennon said he was glad they recorded it at the end of the 10 and a half hour recording session, the song, at the end of the 10.5-hour recording session as his voice was thrashed. Thanks a lot, guys, or trashed. And I don't want to be 52. Signed, Ray B, Master Jin in the Tadpool when I can make it to the live show. So the song or the album, the song that he's talking about is Twist and Shout, a cover that the Beatles included on their Please Please Me album. Of course, probably for this generation, very, very closely associated with Ferris Bueller and the parade scene.
Mm-hmm.
Big use of the Twist and Shout song. So because it's so familiar to all of us, I wanted to do something a little bit different. I wanted to play Twist and Shout, but I didn't want to play the Beatles version. Plus, I think, you know, ASCAP wise, I don't think I've got, that might be one license I don't have.
You got most of them. You got a lot, but that's always a scary
covers
one.
Of the Beatles, no problem, but covered by the Beatles.
Yeah.
But something I think I can play, actually, I know I can play it, is this original version, courtesy of Atlantic Records, the top notes. Now, a lot of people are familiar, maybe if with the Beatles version, maybe also with the Isley Brothers version. How about we go even further back and go to the Top Notes, who are the first band to record Twist and Shout. This is, let's see here. I guess it's really just on their greatest hits. It was produced by Phil Spector. And it's the Top Notes and the very original version of Twist and Shout.
Is that Phil Spector the one that killed people or whatever? Shot somebody?
That's the one.
Okay.
With the crazy hair and the...
Hell of a producer. Weird personal life. All right.
Yeah.
Well, here it is then. It's Twist and Shout. We'll see you guys on Monday for brand new TMS. Come on back now, you hear?
Audio program so good, it's like you're there!